Well, it's the perennial debate. Can you have Jesus as Savior while rejecting him as Lord? And once you're saved, can you lose your salvation? We'll take it up right here today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, how would you like to win a copy of any of my books you want? You could choose the most expensive. You could pick any book that I've written and get it for free if you could pass a test today. And it's a doctrinal test. And if you could prove something to me from Scripture that up to now I haven't believed, I'll give you a free book. You can pick whichever one I want. Oh, maybe we'll make the stakes higher and give you a free library of everything I've written. Because I'm sure what I'm about to ask you is not in the Bible, and some of you are going to say, you're wrong. Well, let's see. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast today. Number to call. Now, some of you are ready to call. You don't even know what it is yet, but make sure you have the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or join the lively discussion already taking place on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, on Facebook. Now, let me tell you what we're going to talk about today, and I want to hear from you. I want to interact with you. If we're going to differ, we're going to differ as friends in the Lord. Okay, if you're hostile with me, I won't be hostile with you. If I'm touching a sacred cow, trust me, what I will say is edifying and helpful. If we tear down any error, we will build it back up with even more substantial, life-giving truth. All right? And if we end up agreeing to disagree, that's fine. But first, let me tell you what we're talking about, and then my simple challenge for you, all right? What we're talking about today, two sides of a related coin, but two of the most heated debates in the church over the decades. I can't say necessarily over the centuries, but certainly over the decades and at certain points of church history. Number one, can you have Jesus as Savior while rejecting him as Lord? Now, hear me. I'm not saying that in order to be saved, you have to be serving him perfectly. I'm not saying that in order to be saved, that he has to be the absolute Lord and master of your every thought, word, deed, attitude, 24/7, including when you're asleep, and if not, you're lost. I'm not saying that, and I don't know anyone who believes that. I'm asking the question, can you have Jesus as Savior while rejecting him as Lord? And I don't even mean for a 30-second period. I mean, can you come to faith? Can you be born again? Can you be saved? Can you go to heaven while rejecting Jesus as Lord? I say the answer is no. I say the answer is no. And if you can give me any verse that says that you can have Jesus as Savior while rejecting him as Lord. A verse that simply says, call on him to save, that doesn't do. It must say that you can reject him as Lord. You can reject his rule. You can reject his authority. You can reject his lordship and still have him as Savior. If you can show me any verse in the Bible that says that, pick any book that I've written and I'll give it to you for free. Or any tape series, audio series, video series, anything in our online bookstore that I've put out, it's yours for free. That's one. Number two, once you are truly saved, can you lose your salvation? Now, some say if you walk away from the Lord and die in sin, you were never truly saved. We're not debating that. That's another subject. If you are truly saved, can you lose your salvation? I say you can. That's going to be a hotter debate for sure. But here's the challenge for you. Find me one verse in the Bible, one verse, just one, that guarantees eternal life to a rebel. Not promises to believers that God will keep us and so on, but one verse anywhere in the Bible that guarantees eternal life, salvation, blessing, any of those to someone living in rebellion and sin. Just one verse, same deal. You get anything in our online bookstore for free.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Tuesday on The Line of Fire. And Tuesdays, we focus on teaching, on doctrine, on apologetics, on biblical controversies. This is one that comes up a lot, but I want to address this again. I have on and off over the years. I want to address this again. I want to be as constructive as I possibly can be as I talk about the issues of having Jesus as Lord in order to be saved, and once you're saved, can you lose your salvation? Now, feel free to weigh in on either side of either of those positions. If you'd like to give me a succinct reason or a key scriptural argument as to why you hold to your position, I will take as many calls from both sides. If you'd like to give me scripture based on which you believe it's impossible for someone who's truly saved to lose their salvation, great. We don't have time for lengthy arguments in the format of radio and with many callers, but if you could give a clear argument, or if you believe that the Bible clearly teaches that someone can lose their salvation, or if you want to weigh in on the issue of the Lordship of Jesus, can you be saved while rejecting him as Lord, or must one totally repent of sin in order to be saved, or where does that fall? You can weigh in on either of those, either way, all right? You know my view, but I'm going to explain it a bit more, but you know my view. You can weigh in with your position, agreeing with me or disagreeing with me, now and for the next hour and 51 minutes, 866-348-7884. And the question I posted on Facebook on Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, was simply, can you have Jesus as Savior while rejecting him as Lord? Now, I have several concerns here. One concern is that we do not preach a false message that gives false comfort and produces false converts. I'm gravely concerned with a message that just tells someone, ask Jesus into your life, which simply means ask him to forgive your sins and give you a ticket to heaven, and does not speak about transformation, does not speak about a new life, does not speak about obedience to him, does not speak about any requirements in any way, all right? And now that person says, okay, Jesus, forgive my sins. Yeah, I was wrong. Forgive me, please. Give me eternal life. Make God my Father. Amen. And they walk away. Well, unless God has really come into their lives supernaturally, that's not the new birth. That's not being born from above. That's not going from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. That's not going from living for sin and living for self to now living for God. That's just saying words. And even the content of the words is insufficient, because there's no acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord. There's no acknowledgement of what salvation is. Salvation is salvation from sin. Here, I'll give you again a very, very simple analogy. If I say to you, you now have a complete free scholarship to Harvard University, we are paying for you to be there 100%, your dorm expenses, your classes, you can take all the electives you want for your entire time at Harvard, it is paid 100%, you don't have to pay a dime. And then a week into the semester, we give you a call and say, hey, just want to make sure you're settled in and enjoying classes. You say, what are you talking about enjoying classes? I'm not going to classes. I don't want to go to classes. Okay. If you don't want to go to classes, then the scholarship is of no use to you. Salvation is not simply a free ticket to heaven. It's a new life in Jesus. If salvation to you means God forgives me so I can go sin more, that's not salvation. If salvation means God gives me a ticket to heaven so I could live like the devil down here, that's not salvation. Salvation is salvation from sin, from self, from Satan, that we now live to do the will of God. So I am concerned about a false message that gives false security, that does not call for a change in life, that does not call for obedience to God, that makes the lordship of Jesus optional, okay? That deeply concerns me. That is not the gospel at all. And if you share that with people and that's where they're left, you've hurt them more than you've helped them. I'm also concerned with a notion that says once you're saved, you could live however in the world you want to live. Once you are saved, no matter what you do, no matter how you live, no matter what garbage is in your life, no matter how you can deny Jesus, it doesn't matter. Once you're saved, and it's all the more deception if the, quote, salvation was a bogus salvation to start. That concerns me. So a false message, a counterfeit message producing counterfeit converts or giving counterfeit comfort deeply concerns me. On the flip side, I am concerned that believers are insecure in their walk with the Lord. I am concerned that believers do not know the depth of the love of God and the grace of God and the keeping power of God. I am concerned that people live as if they have to save themselves. I am concerned that people live as if they're not working hard enough, that God will reject them. That if for one moment in one day they realize that they disobeyed the Lord Jesus, and by the way, Andrew, I'm taking calls on both sides. My challenge for the giveaway is for someone to provide me one scripture that says what I'm looking for. But I'm absolutely taking calls from people on either side of the subject. All right, so whoever wants to weigh in, buddy, our phone line's been lighting up, but we're just trying to get folks in harmony before, not in harmony with me, but just making sure we're all on the same page. Yeah, so Andrew, whatever in the world people want to talk about, whatever they want to argue with me, they want to agree with me, the phone lines are open, but I have an open challenge. I'll repeat that in a moment. I have an open challenge. So on the one hand, I'm concerned. I'm concerned that people hear a false message, counterfeit conversion, counterfeit gospel, something that doesn't save, something that gives false comfort, something that just puts a little Band-Aid over sin. And yeah, I feel terrible. I've been living such a bad life. Yeah, I want to be forgiven. Okay, what does that mean? Forgiven means get rid of the guilt to keep living the same way. Or does forgiven mean turning away from that which is evil and destructive, turning away from sin? How? By God's grace, a complete new slate, a complete new beginning in Jesus. I understood being saved when I was shooting heroin at 15. I understood that if Jesus was going to be my savior, I could no longer shoot heroin. I understood that. No, I did not get saved by stopping shooting heroin. I did not get saved by my actions. Salvation was receiving a free gift from God, but that free gift was a life-changing gift, which acknowledged confession of Jesus as Lord. So I'm concerned that people hear false gospel, and then those who are saved hear a message which tells them, here, well-known American pastor, the Bible clearly teaches that God's love for his people is of such magnitude that even those who walk away from the faith have not the slightest chance of slipping from his hand. That's not scriptural. That is not scriptural. That is not what the Bible says. On the flip side, it's so important that as believers we rest in security in the Lord. So someone gives me a free ticket to fly to California to do some ministry there. It's a free ticket. If I receive that gift, then I will go to California. All right? That's the consequence of it. But on that flight, unless I lose my mind and go crazy and try to open the emergency door in flight and jump out, I'm perfectly safe. I have nothing to worry about. As a child of God, I never, ever, ever worry for a split second about losing my salvation because I'm a child of God and he promised to keep me. However, if I started to flaunt the warnings of God, started to mock the warnings of God, started to walk away from all of his warnings about don't harden your heart and so on and so forth, and thought, well, I can just live however I want to live or experiment with other religions, then you better believe there'd be holy fear on me because now I'm playing games with my eternal salvation. So yes, call in with your to agree with me or to disagree with me, but here's my challenge. If you believe You can have Jesus as Savior while rejecting Him as Lord, consciously rejecting Him as Lord. I don't mean a momentary time, but the stance of your life. Show me one verse in the Bible to back your position. Just one. And you get online, go to my online bookstore, and tell us any one item you want for it, and we'll send it to you as a gift, no matter how expensive. Okay? The other, if you believe you can't lose your salvation, fine, we can discuss that. But show me one verse. Provide for me just one verse in the Bible. Come on, there are theologians, pastors, professors out there, people who love the word out there. Show me one verse promising someone living in rebellion and sin that they will have eternal life and blessing. Not promises to believers to keep us, but promises to the rebel. Just one verse. All right? And I'll renounce myself for saying that there is no such verse. Just one. Just one. We'll be back with your calls.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you take the words of Jesus seriously when he said, enter through the straight gate? Broad is the road, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many go that way, but enter into the straight gate. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Do you take that seriously? Do you take it seriously in the book of Acts when the apostles preached, repent, urging people to turn from sin, to renounce their wrong views of Jesus, and to turn from sin, and to recognize him as Lord? God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Do you take that seriously? Do you take it seriously where Paul says in Romans 10 that we must confess him as Lord, which is not just a theological statement, I believe in his deity, but no, he is Lord. If he's Lord, then we submit to him. Why do you think it is that Saul of Tarsus, when he encountered Jesus, Yeshua, and found out who he was, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay, if this is who you are, then what do you want me to do? Salvation is all about service. Yeah, it's relationship, it's eternal life, but we're saved to serve. One of my colleagues said, sons serve, sons and daughters serve. 866-348-7884. Talking about what Scripture says in terms of, can you have Jesus as Savior while rejecting him as Lord, as well as, if you're truly saved, can you lose your salvation? And again, my challenge, my simple challenge, and you can call without wanting to accept this challenge, but give me one verse in the Bible that says you can have Jesus as Savior while rejecting him as Lord. Just one verse that says that explicitly. Or one verse that explicitly promises to a rebel, to someone living in willful disobedient sin who's turned away from God, a promise of eternal life and blessing to that person. Oh, there are many promises. If you repent, God will do this and this and this. But just one simple verse. Not a single person who holds to once saved, always saved has ever been able to find one single verse that says that. Not one. So I'm still waiting. 866-348-7884. Frank in New York City, you're up first today on the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Michael. God bless you, man. It's good to talk to you again.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I'm in 1,000% agreement with you on both of these questions that you raised. Let me give a few verses that'll just strengthen it.
Sure.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord, yet you don't keep my commandments?
Luke
Jesus
6.
Said.
Yeah.
Hebrews 5:9. Great verse. He has become the beginning of salvation to all who obey him. What does he say in Timothy? The man who does not provide for his own household has become worse than an unbeliever. He's talking to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Galatians 5, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, there's a bunch of sins that'll put you into hell. Now, the church fathers always believed in mortal sin, that you can lose your salvation. Where did this other teaching come from? Basically from Luther and Calvin. Luther said you could commit adultery and fornication and murders 1,000 times a day, you're still going to heaven, as long as you don't apostatize. That's a lie from hell. Calvin took it a step further and said, even if you apostatize, you're still going to heaven if you're among the elect. So,
To clarify with Calvin, he would have said if someone is truly elect, they will turn away from that. In other words, Calvinism would teach that someone who is truly saved, if they turn away, it's only temporary, that they'll demonstrate it by turning back. And if they die in sin, they were never truly among the elect. But Frank, I want to get to as many calls as possible. You were very succinct. You gave a scripture and some historical perspective. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. What do you do with Matthew 7:21? Please someone tell me, who says that you can have Jesus as Savior while rejecting him as Lord. What do you do with Matthew 7:21? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. What do you do with that? What do you do with 1 John, throughout 1 John? But to summarize, whoever claims to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. What do you do with those verses? 866-34-TRUTH. Michelle in... All right. We lost Michelle. Now, Michelle wanted us to hear her perspective that you can't lose your salvation, but we lost the call. We lost the call about not losing salvation, but we've got plenty more in her wake. James and Merrick on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing? This is James Lamonti. I'm Pastor Jordan Azzolo's grandson. I've heard a lot of
you. Are you serious? That is awesome, man. Yeah, that your dad, for those who don't know, that was the pastor of the church in which God saved me and patiently prayed for me and loved me in my early days of folly and set an example of prayer and the word for me. In fact, James, I'm scheduled to be in Merrick the second Saturday of May. But here's the deal. I'm going to be debating a friend of mine, a pastor, Bruce Bennett, on the subject of Calvinism
at a church
in Merrick. Yeah, we'll be getting word out in the coming days. But sure, your perspective, James.
I think that lordship and once saved, always saved can definitely go together. I guess I would agree with Calvin in that if someone is truly saved, they will go to Lord. And the verse I would point to is Philippians 1:6. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. So if God has began the work of regeneration and salvation in my life, he will bring it to completion. And I agree with you that a lot of people, the reason we see them walking away is because the work never began. They were, because the gospel was never preached to them, they never came to repentance, and they never came under the saving faith and lordship of Christ. So when they walk away, we have no way to say that, of course, they'll be saved. But in people who have truly began the good work of salvation, God has truly regenerated, I think Philippians 1:6 says that he will bring it to completion. He will not let them fall away.
Got it. So quick question for you. And obviously, I put my confidence in that, too, that the one who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. What do you do with verses when you read warnings like Hebrews 3:13, 3:12 to 14? Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence in him to the end. I tell you what, stay right there. Phone lines are jammed. I want to get to all of your calls. I'll do it on the other side of the break, all right? I'll do that on the other side of the break. Come back and continue the discussion with James, and everyone else will be joining in here. So remember, all my friends in the greater New York area, Friday night, May 10th, we'll be doing a special meeting in Queens. It's Time for Revolution in New York City. This is just for our listeners, our friends in the greater New York area, and then a debate on Calvinism in Merrick on Long Island on the 11th of May. So make sure you have those dates on your calendar, especially May 10th. And it is so critically important that the church understand how to respond to questions about same-sex marriage. How can we not understand how to deal with that issue? Your gift of any size, I want to send you my debate with Professor Eric Small, Same-Sex Marriage, Should It Be Legal? Your gift of any size, it's on a DVD. You'll find a tremendously practical and eye-opening night. Call or order and help us with your gift, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What a joy to be with you today as we dive into the Word together, as we explore the Scriptures, some of the most important issues in terms of salvation. Can you be saved? Can you have Jesus as Savior while rejecting Him as Lord? I'm not talking about a momentary lapse. I'm not talking about struggling. I'm saying, no, I don't want Him as Lord. I just want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. I don't want Him as Lord. Is that possible? And if you are truly saved, can you lose your salvation? Or if you're truly saved, does it mean you'll always live in holiness? And if you turn away from God, then you weren't saved? What do the Scriptures say? 866-348-7884. Let me go right back to James in Merrick on Long Island. So James, we put our trust in God's keeping power. I read Philippians 1:6, of course, as a general statement of truth that God who began his good work in us will bring it to completion. I've rested in that for 41 years. But what do you do with the many warnings in the New Testament that talk about the danger of turning away from the Lord? And it seems to be a very real danger that the New Testament presents. What do you do with those verses?
Well, I guess I would think about it just in the same way that Paul talks about how we have to examine ourselves every day to see that we are in the faith. You mentioned Hebrews chapter 3. When it talks about the deceitfulness of sin that we may not be hardened, just like you were talking about, believers will struggle with holiness. You know, like that verse says in Philippians, we will not be perfected until the day of Christ Jesus. We are going to be sinning every day, and it is a real danger for believers that I believe will be persevered to the end. It is still a danger for us to fall into sin and to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, not to an extent that we'll be unrepentant and living in sin, because there are verses like the man called him before in Matthew 7, you know, where we have to those who say, Lord, Lord, not keep his commandments.
Right. So the question would be, though, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that you're not talking about spiritual complacency in any way.
Yeah,
I respect that. But my question is, why are there warnings about the possibility of turning away if it's actually not possible to turn away? It's one thing if we say, look, be real careful driving around the side of this cliff, otherwise you might get some nicks and scratches in your car. It's another thing if we say, be careful driving around this cliff because you could go off the cliff. That's my only problem, that the verses speak about a genuine possibility of people turning away. And even saying, for example, in 2 Peter 2, that if they do, it would have been better for them to have not known the truth than having known it, known the truth, known Jesus as Lord, have eternal life through him, than having known it to turn away. It's like a dog going back to his vomit. So that's just something to present to chew on. We can perhaps continue this conversation on Long Island one time. But it's a joy to talk to a grandson of a pastor to whom my salvation is greatly indebted. So thanks for the call, James. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great talking. Thanks.
God bless. 866-348-7884. Ian in Providence, Rhode Island. Time's a little short before the break, but please dive right in, sir.
Okay. I'm kicking myself because I've just been trying to find it the whole time. But when the Apostle Paul talks about a man's work being wood, hay, stubble, or precious stones, my question is, and I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but I also believe in the perseverance of the saints, so that God will persevere you if you are saved. But
Got it.
I wonder, and this might be off, but what type of work is that man that has all his work burned up and he's saved as by fire? Is this like a neutral? Go ahead, you got it.
Yeah. So just so our friends understand, and then Ian, I'll answer you on the other side of the break. But the perseverance of the saints, Ian believes that if you're truly saved, as James was saying in the previous call, you will live out your salvation. And if someone says, no, I'm saved, and they die an alcoholic, serial-killing Buddhist, no, they were never saved in the first place. I don't hold to that myself, but that's safe. It doesn't open the door to sin. So what about a passage like 1 Corinthians 3? Someone saved us by the fire. We'll look at that when we come back.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, great question from Ian in Providence, Rhode Island, right before the break. What do we make of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about someone whose works go up in the flames, wood, hay, stubble, they go up in the flames, but that person is still saved so as by fire? What about that? How does that tie in with the question of once saved, always saved? 866-348-7884. I want to put forth a challenge. I did at the beginning of the broadcast. I'll put it forth again and again in the next hour as well for listeners in other parts of the country. Can you provide for me just one verse anywhere in the Bible that says clearly that you can reject Jesus as Lord while still having him as Savior? Not verses that say call him and be saved or believe in him and be saved, because salvation in itself talks about a transformation and a new life coming from one kingdom into another and from slaves to sin to now slaves to righteousness. But can you give me just one verse that says you can reject him? You can reject him as Lord and yet have him as Savior. Just one verse that says that. Now, I'm not saying that you have to serve him with absolute perfection 24/7 in order to be saved. Otherwise, we'd all be lost. But I'm asking for a verse that says you can reject him as Lord while having him as Savior. And I'm looking for one verse for all of you who believe you cannot lose your salvation. Please, just one. All I need is one verse promising a rebel, promising someone living in unrepentant sin that they still have eternal life and blessing. Just one verse. You provide me either of those verses, you get online, look at our online bookstore, take the most expensive item you want, we'll send it to you as a gift. Okay, I'll send you the whole library as a gift. 866-348-7884. And let me explain why this is important. The promises that God will keep us, the promises that no one can pluck us out of his hand, the promises that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ are to us as believers. They are not to rebels. If someone walks in rebellion, open rebellion and sin, well, I'm going to leave my spouse, I'm going to take off with this young lady, and I'm going to embezzle my company and take all these funds, and then we're going to live under a different identity in another part of the world, but thank God we're still saved. No. That's pure deception. Now, some of you will say, well, that person was never truly saved. Okay, I respect that. Some will say if they're truly saved, they'll repent of that and won't be able to live in it. Okay, I respect that. Some will say, no, once saved, always saved. No, that is unscriptural. Because the promises, when Jesus gave promises, it was to his sheep. My sheep know my voice and follow me, and I give them eternal life. The comfort is for the believer, not for the rebel. The only comfort that a rebel has is that the rebel turns back to God and then meets with God's incredible kindness, grace, mercy that receives him back. So what about 1 Corinthians 3 that talks about someone's works could go up in the smoke and fire, wood, hay, stubble, others gold, silver, precious stones will receive that, they'll remain. Paul's talking in 1 Corinthians 3 about building on the foundation of Jesus, ministry works that we do for him, church planters, people making disciples, doing the work of the gospel is the context of 1 Corinthians 3. And some might do it with ulterior motives. Some might do it mixed with flesh. It has nothing to do with whether they're saved or not. Some may do it for pride reasons. Some may do it in a superficial way that really doesn't draw anyone to Jesus. There's a lot of empty talk. Well, on that day, it may look impressive. Some of our biggest ministries may look impressive. My ministry may look impressive. Yours might. Who knows? And it may all go up in smoke on that day. Or the fruit of it, the work, the labor, will be tested by fire and will go on. Now, what about that person whose works were superficial, whose works were wood, hay, stubble? Oh, he's still saved. But he comes in as through the fire. It's not talking about someone living in disobedient sin and denying Jesus. It's not talking about someone who was once a follower of Jesus and now denies him and writes books against him. Either that person was never saved, you can make an argument for that, or he lost his salvation. But you cannot say he is saved in that state. Back to the phones. Stephen in Bowie, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Okay, I was using 2 Timothy 2:13 to address your first issue. Now, I do believe that if you're a rebel, never been saved, then no, of course not. But in this particular verse here, this particular person was walking with Christ and has become unfaithful. But because the Holy Spirit seals you into the kingdom, Jesus Christ cannot deny who he is inside of that person. Once he's saved, then you cannot lose your salvation. I don't think you can, according to John chapter 3, verse 3. And the principle behind being born, as Jesus uses that term, to compare and contrast with the physical born, if a person is physically born, they are, by the blood, of course, have just one set of parents. Now, if he never talks to those parents again for the rest of his life, after living with them for a while, he is still related to them simply by
okay,
the blood.
Okay, so... All right, so the question is that he'd still, if that person was born a human being, then that person would not become a lizard or a crocodile or an elephant or something else, right?
No, he would
if you see that person is actually a lizard or a crocodile, then you'd have to say, well, then they were never a human being, right?
That's correct. I'm just saying that they were born into a family.
So they have to have the family.
His parents
Right, they'd have to have the family marks then. So 1 John says, the 1 John 3rd chapter, whoever continues in sin has neither seen God nor known him. So that would be the answer then, that if that person is truly born from above, then they have that nature of the new kingdom. But here's where I differ with you on 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, verse 12,
yes.
He will also deny us. If we deny him, he'll deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. It's one thing to be struggling, and God, I want to believe I'm struggling. It's another thing to deny him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Hey,
That's at the point of accepting salvation. If we deny him, of course he'll deny us. But if we are unfaithful, which means we were once faithful at once upon a time, then become unfaithful. Jesus Christ.
Now, this is not the point of salvation.
Because you are sealed.
This is not the point of salvation, sir. If we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, this is in the context of enduring. This is for us as believers. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. And it doesn't say unfaithful. It's faithless. It's struggling with faith is different than apostasy. But Stephen, I do appreciate the call. Thank you. 866-348-7884. Harry in Chester, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Lord bless you, Dr. Brown. When it comes to once saved, always saved, I once used to believe that until the Holy Spirit led me to read Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 33, and this is the King James. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven.
So the question would be, Harry, if someone says, well, I used to be a believer, and now I'm denying Jesus, and they die denying him, like some folks I know that used to be Jewish believers that turned away, that deny him, that argue against him, that fight against him, that write books against him, if they die denying him, there's no possible way. We're not talking about a momentary lapse like Peter had. We're talking about denying him, saying he is not Lord, he is not Savior, I will not confess him. He's made it clear he will not confess us. We don't belong to him. So, yeah, absolutely. I agree that verse is very plain among many others. 866-348-7884. And look, I'm going to go back to the phones. Thanks for being patient. I want to get to as many calls as possible. But please, show me one verse. Those of you who believe in once saved, always saved, understand that I'm talking to you from a position of deep security in the Lord. I don't worry about losing my salvation. I love the Lord. He's my God. He's my King. He's my Savior. He's my all in all. He's promised to keep me. All I want to do is please him. Where I fall short, I want to please him. I want to get back up and honor him and please him. I'm not just going around playing games, seeing how far I can go. I'm not worried about losing my salvation. He's promised to keep me. But show me. Show me one verse that explicitly promises someone in rebellion, someone in sin, because this is how it's applied. See, this is how it's wrongly applied. You tell some drug addict who's beating up his girlfriend and raping a kid, well, look, it's bad you do it and your life may be cut short, but once you're saved, you're always saved. No, no, no such promise exists to someone in willful rebellion, denying the Lord and living in sin. The promise is, if you turn back, I'll have mercy on you. The promise is, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've fallen, he'll have mercy on you. So just show me one verse promising a rebel, someone living in willful, persistent, unrepentant sin, that they still have eternal life and the blessing of God. One verse. We'll be back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, the number is 866-348-7884. Charles Spurgeon, I cannot conceive it possible for anyone truly to receive Christ as Savior and yet not to receive him as Lord. A man who is really saved by grace does not need to be told that he is under solemn obligations to serve Christ. The new life within him tells him that. Instead of regarding it as a burden, he gladly surrenders himself, body, soul, and spirit, to the Lord who has redeemed him, reckoning this to be his reasonable service. John Bunyan, Christ as Savior is not divided. He that hath him not in all shall have him in none at all of his offices in a saving manner. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Nancy in Boston. All right. It's interesting. Several callers that said you can't lose your salvation. When I go to the call, we've lost the call. Ironic, isn't it? Chris in Arlington, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just want to read Galatians 5 and 2.
Yes.
Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you time in the past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says right there you can lose your salvation. And then it says, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
It also says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, so to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
Just to jump in, you have similar warnings to Galatians 5. You have them in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and Colossians, the 3rd chapter. And it explicitly says in Ephesians 5 and in 1 Corinthians 6, don't be deceived, let no one deceive you. Now, some would claim, Chris, that inheriting the kingdom of God means getting rewards in the kingdom, but that's clearly not what Paul speaks of when he speaks in that context. Like 1 Corinthians 15, he says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean receive rewards. It means new life. It means resurrection life. So you could either say that he's saying, don't be deceived in thinking that people who live like that are going to get in. Or he could be saying, don't be deceived that you think you can live like that and get in. Either way, it's plain. Those who walk in persistent, unrepentant sin don't belong to the Lord and don't have eternal life. Thank you for the call, sir. Look, the promises are to the children. But you can't stop being a child. Well, that is a theoretical argument that Scripture actually doesn't get into. It says, bring forth fruit. Acts, the 26th chapter, this was Paul's message. Bring forth fruit worthy of salvation. Demonstrate your repentance by your deeds. That's what he preached. That was not a gospel of works. That was a gospel of salvation, because salvation saves. 866-348-7884. Greg in Orange, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let me just read 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1 and 2, if I may.
Sure.
And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Azor, and he went out to meet Asa. And he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you forever and ever. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you."
Hmm. Pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Right there on the nose. If I could just give a little highlight on that. The question of salvation has to do, we're actually formed in iniquity, we are birthed in iniquity, and sin does a mother conceive us. However, he knew our substance, yet imperfect, before man and before time. That's before the fall, and that is your spiritual heart and who you are. But we're birthed into a cursed earth, so there is like a sea of iniquity around our spiritual heart. It's only heart repentance that parts that sea. And then the light is able to enter, provided the door is open and you ask him to become one. At that time, you'll no longer have a propensity to want to sin. And if you fall, you will come underneath your own condemnation immediately. And this is the evidence of salvation. If the heart repentance has not gone forward and the asking to come in, you and the light have not become one. And if I can just put a high-low to that and put...
Yeah, hang on. I wish I could let you put one more highlight. I'm out of time, though, but thank you for the scripture and for the point. Look, repentance is not a work we do in our own effort. It is by God's grace, but it is something we participate in. It is a response. It is a yes to salvation. And thank you for the call, sir. Stay on the line. I'm going to be taking calls right into the next hour. So if you can stay with us, then you'll be able to keep listening online. Even if you lose this on your local station, you'll be able to keep listening on the phone, and we'll get to your call shortly. Here's the issue. Salvation saves. Old people sometimes grow very slowly. Old people come with all kinds of baggage. Who didn't? But the only proof is, as revival scholar James Edmund Orr used to say, the only proof of the new birth is the new life. And if someone is truly born again, they will live differently. And if they don't, they are either not saved or they were never saved. And if someone walks away from the Lord and denies him and renounces him and goes back to sin, yes, they can lose their salvation, or they were never really saved. The one thing that's sure is if they renounce him, turn away from him, and deny him, that they do not belong to him. Friends, in the greater New York area, make sure it's on your calendar. Friday night, it'll be in Queens, New York. We'll give you more details as we get closer. Friday night, May 10th. I'm coming into the city for a rally specifically for all of you who listen on WMCA, who listen on WLIX. We're going to have a wonderful night. We'll have a time of worship, and then I want to bring you a word to stir your hearts. It's time for Jesus Revolution in New York. We'll let you know about what we're doing in ministry, some things that are really encouraging. We'll even have a time of Q&A, time permitting. So May 10th, Friday night, May 10th, put it on your calendar. It'll be in Queens, very accessible location. And 3 years ago now, college campus in Florida, university officials wanted to shut the debate down. They required us to have 4 armed policemen just to debate with another professor, same-sex marriage, should it be legal? That's how volatile this issue is. We're for the first time putting this out on DVD now, an eye-opening, really useful debate. You'll be thrilled as you watch it. Your gift of any size so we can get it to the maximum number of people. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, take comfort, be assured in your relationship with the Lord. Fear not. If you have set your heart on serving him, he will keep you faithful to the end. If you play games, then fear. Was the perennial debate, can you have Jesus as Savior while rejecting him as Lord? And once you're saved, can you lose your salvation? We'll take it up right here today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is my delight to be with you as we walk through a minefield theologically, doctrinally, but one that's very important to discuss. Fundamental issues of salvation. Michael Brown, the number to call, 866-348-7884. Oh, I've touched on these issues before. We're coming back to them today. Very simply, can you reject Jesus as Lord and still have him as Savior? One of my friends went to a youth camp, a Baptist youth camp as a boy, and they gave a call for salvation one night, and it was clear you didn't have to do anything. It required nothing of you. God asked nothing of you. No obedience demanded, no change of life demanded. It's just, do you want your sins forgiven? Do you want to be sure you're going to heaven when you die? Yes. Basically, all the kids went up for that. A few days later, they said, all right, we want to take this deeper. Now we want you to receive him as Lord. Now, you still go to heaven even without him as Lord, but you want to receive him as Lord. Well, only a couple of kids went forward. Why would the rest go forward with that kind of atmosphere and that kind of bogus message and without really encountering Jesus and being young people? Why would they go forward? Is that unscriptural? Is it bogus, as I say, or is that in the Bible? Can you show me one verse, just one, that says you can reject Jesus as Lord and still have him as Savior? Just one verse. I didn't say you have to be perfect in order to be saved. I didn't say you have to perfectly repent of every sin to be saved. I didn't say that one momentary 30-second lapse or 1 hour lapse from following Jesus as Lord means you're not saved. I didn't say any such thing. I'm simply asking, can you show me a verse anywhere that says you can deny him as Lord, reject him as Lord, and still have him as Savior? That's one. I mean, I immediately think of Jesus saying, what do you call me, Lord, Lord, don't do the things I say, Luke 6, and in Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. And he spent chapters already in Matthew explaining the will of the Father, which is not just believing, it was believing and obeying. And then another question for you. Let me give you a backdrop to it. I absolutely rest in the Lord. I rest in security in the Lord. I believe in his keeping power. I believe that he who began the good work in me will bring it to completion. I believe that. I don't worry about losing my salvation any more than I worry about robbing a bank when I drive by it, or converting to Islam if I drive past a mosque. I don't worry about it. God's faithful, and he's promised to keep me, and I want to serve him. However, I've met people that are living in overt, blatant sin. Overt, blatant sin. I mean, as blatant as could be. And they say, oh, I'm still saved. What do you mean? You're living in adultery. You're a drug user. You've chosen alcohol. You're an alcoholic. You're justifying it and saying it's just fine. God doesn't care. And even if you break all the commandments and throw out the Bible and curse him to his face, you're still saved because you prayed a prayer as a kid. That's deception, friends. That's deception. Either that person was never saved or they lost their theology. You can wrap your own theology around that. But either they were never saved or they lost their salvation, okay? One of the two. But someone in that state, in persistent, perpetual rejection of Jesus and denial of him and living in sin, is not saved. Now, just show me one verse that promises a rebel, someone living in overt, willful, unrepentant sin, that promises them eternal life. Oh, if they repent, of course. But one verse to the rebel. We'll be back with your calls, 866-348-7884.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is my joy to be with you today on The Line of Fire, and I want to get straight to your calls, 866-348-7884. Let me lay out my concerns. My concerns are that we preach a bogus gospel that makes salvation into some type of transaction where you get your sins forgiven, go to heaven without coming into relationship with God, without repentance, without receiving Jesus as Lord, without passing from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God, from darkness to light, without receiving a new nature. You just pray some prayer and get an eternal life policy. That's not the gospel. That's not salvation. And then my concern is that we tell people who are believers that no matter what they do, no matter how they live, that they still make it in. It's bogus. The Bible never says that. Now, you may say it promises that those who are truly saved will be kept. Fine. That's fine. You may say, if someone claims to know Jesus, 1 John 3, they claim to know him and they're living in overt, unrepentant, persistent sin, they never knew him. Fine. That's not my concern. My concern is a statement like this from a well-known American pastor. The Bible clearly teaches that God's love for his people is of such magnitude that even those who walk away from the faith and have not the slightest chance of slipping from his hand, no, he never says he will stop you from leaving. He says that nothing can take you out of his hand, that nothing outside can separate you from his love. That's sufficient promise for a believer. But for a rebel, the only promise is if you repent, God will have mercy on you. Now, if any of you can come up with these verses, a verse that says, if we reject him as Lord, we reject him as Lord, we can still have him as Savior. You can get online, look at my online bookstore, anything in my online bookstore, anything that we've written, published, you want for free, I'll give it to you. Take it all right? If you can show me that verse. Or a verse that promises someone living in overt rebellion. Overt rebellion. Someone who says, I'm going to live in my sin, I choose my sin, I'm refusing to repent. Show me one verse in the Bible that promises that person eternal life. You say, brother, that's easy. Jesus says, my sheep, I give them eternal life, they'll never perish. And who are his sheep? Those who know him and follow him. If someone is living in overt, explicit rebellion, either that person was never his sheep or they're not his sheep now. Show me one verse. Just one. It's got to be somewhere there in the Bible. The Bible's not so big that you can't find it. That promises a rebel, someone living in willful, persistent sin, rejecting God, I'm going to sin, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, that promises that person eternal life and blessing. The only promises come to those who repent. And the promises are wonderful and abundant, as we see with the prodigal son. 866-348-7884. Mike in Belmore, Long Island, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. This is Pastor Mike Burns, an old friend.
Hey, buddy. How you doing, man?
I appreciate you so much and the work you've been doing over the years and here on the radio. We just pray for you guys and have been supporting your broadcast as well.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, we encourage others to do that as well. I had a couple of thoughts, though, and obviously there's no scripture that I'm able to find that would say that someone can reject, you know, Christ and having once prayed or received him as Lord and then, you know, say I'm still saved and living like the devil. I don't think there's any verse in the Bible that would defend that. But I think that there's a perspective that I'd like just to add to what you're saying. And
please.
There are scriptures in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, that talk about it's impossible to renew again to repentance those who have tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, the partakers of the Holy Ghost, you know, and the things listed there. And I think the test there, though, is not, you know, someone says, well, if they you know, turn away, that it's impossible. I think the question really needs to be asked to people, if I have been living outside of God's will and I've been sinning or missing the mark, so to speak, is do I want to repent? I mean, and if they still have that willingness to want to get it right and not just keep going in that direction, I think they don't then qualify for the description that the writer of Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 gives. I'd also like to say that in 1 John 5:16, it says, if a man sees his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he can ask and God will give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for it. And verse 17 says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So I think it's possible for people to be missing the mark but that is not a sin. And the death it's talking about here, in my opinion, is the sin unto physical death. And I was also want to just add, because there's an ongoing thought here that needs to be, I think, clarified, which is in 1 Corinthians 5:5, Paul said, for the young man who is in incest with his stepmother, that it said there that, you know, Paul said, I've turned such a one over to Satan. For what? For the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved. I mean, God is so bent, I believe, on people not missing heaven and going to hell, that when they do get way off there, he'd rather have their life cut short physically so that they could still make it in. I mean, I just wanted to throw that thought out there and see what you had to say about it.
Yeah, well, certainly, starting with the last passage, 1 Corinthians 5, that clearly is what Paul is saying. It doesn't guarantee that person's salvation, but that's the hope, that if this person will not repent and they're living in willful sin, that indicates to us that that could cost that person eternal life. So it's better that they lost everything in this world. Let's say the guy's living in sexual sin and he's given over to Satan. His body gets destroyed. His physical flesh gets destroyed. He's not going to enjoy his sin anymore. The hope is that he'll return and repent and get right with God. So you have to say it's an obvious threat to that person's salvation. Otherwise, let him just go to heaven. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 5, better, even though he's talking metaphorically, he's making a point, better to go to heaven missing a hand or an eye or a leg or a foot than to go to hell whole. So he's making a point there, but one of the things is that sin is that dangerous. As for Hebrews 6, it's a controversial passage in certain ways, because it could present the idea that someone who turns away can never come back. But it seems, especially in the context of Jewish believers he's writing to, if they thought, well, we can leave Jesus and still go back to the temple and still have our sacrifices, no sacrifice for sin exists outside of him, and you're crucifying him afresh. So anyone in that state of denial cannot be renewed in repentance. Hey Mike, I'm doing a debate in Merrick, so right near you in Belmore, Saturday night, May 11th, we're going to debate Calvinism. The subject is eternal salvation, who makes the final choice, God or man? So hopefully I can run into you again. And thanks so much for the support. I really appreciate it, brother.
Where's that going to be at, that meeting on Saturday?
That's going to be at a church in Merrick. We're going to be posting everything and letting folks know. And then the night before that, Friday night, I'm going to be May 10th at a listeners' rally in Queens. All right, God bless you, man. Thanks
so
much.
God bless you, Dr. Brown. Bye.
Bye-bye. 866-348-7884. Okay, let me go right back to the phones, but that reminds me, all my friends in the greater Charlotte area and every station we're on across the country, we're doing our best to schedule meetings to be in your city. We're talking to station managers to set up events to be in your city. So stay tuned. But our friends in the greater Charlotte area, this coming Friday night, 7 o'clock, Saturday night at 6 o'clock, and then Sunday morning at 10, I'm going to be preaching a series of messages at Fire Church, my home congregation, right next to Charlotte Motor Speedway. So just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on itinerary for more information. If you can join us Friday night or Saturday, especially if you're free from your own service, it would be great to meet you. 866-348-7884. Princess in Englewood, New Jersey, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, thanks for taking my call. I want to draw two scripture, and then you could comment on it. In 1 John, we see how Jesus Christ did such a perfect job in that he said, very strong language, 1 John 3 and 9, whosoever, read in King James, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12, God saith, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. We're watching how powerful this grace is.
Yeah.
Teaching us, verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present time, and looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God. You will notice in 1 John 3:3, it said that make people purify themselves, the coming of the Lord when you preach that. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of sometimes what happened, the preachers, they try to outdo one another in arguing to prove their point. They should all God saying there is, Jesus did a complete job. His seed is in the person when they're born again. They're empowered to live holy. And then the same grace, grace is powerful. But the preacher had to take the time as a child we teach a baby how to live. We are calling that baby to wash dishes as soon as it's born. And so the pastors and them and the preachers or whoever, we all should be showing people what God do. If you're born again, you are empowered. The devil is defeated and you could live holy. What do you
right,
think?
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Hey, I got to jump in. The music is playing. But someone tell me how you deal with 1 John 3:9. Okay? Someone tell me how to deal with 1 John 3:9. We'll come back to that. 1 John 3:9. We're going to look at that. We come back. Take more calls.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Now look, everybody has different concerns. Some of you are concerned about believers who constantly think, oh no, I lost myself. Oh, I thought a wrong thought. Oh, I wasn't compassionate enough. Oh, I didn't pray enough. I lost my salvation today. And you want to say, no. Your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life in pencil. It's not in one day, out the next, in one day, out the next. No. We're saved. Our salvation is secure. We have eternal life. And that's what you want to minister to people. Others are concerned that people have this notion that being saved is just a ticket to heaven and you can live however in the world you want to live and you're still saved. And they want to deal with that. I believe we can deal with both errors by teaching simple truth, that the promises are to believers. That if you're a believer, if you're a child of God, if you want to serve the Lord, if you're seeking to please Him, you say, but I fall short, I feel terrible. Well, why do you feel terrible? Because you're seeking to please Him. Yeah, but I messed up the other day. Well, how come you didn't mess up 24 hours of the day and the day before that and the day after that? It's because you don't want to live like that. Why? Because you're a child of God. Be comforted. Be assured. He's with you. He's given you promises. He'll keep you. And for those that walk away, that deny Him, that spit in His face, that say, I don't believe in Jesus anymore, that convert to another religion, that break their vows and just go out and live in open, rebellious, disobedient sin. The only promise is if you repent, I'll have mercy on you. 866-348-7884. 1 John 3:9. Because John's dealing with an error throughout his book that people claim to know Him and they were living in sin. And he said, you're lying. You're lying. You claim to know Him and you don't keep His commandments. You're a liar. That's what he says. It wasn't very pastoral. It was very pastoral. Pastoral enough to tell the truth. So I'll read from a bunch of translations. 1 John 3:9. The Greek is literally hamartian hoi hamartian oi ou poi. Sorry for mispronouncing these simple words. Sin he does not do, continue to do. It's present active lifestyle. Complete Jewish Bible. No one who has God as his father keeps on sinning because the seed planted by God remains in him. ESV, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. King James, we just heard read, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. New American Standard, no one is born of God practices sin. NET, everyone who has been fathered by God does not practice sin. NLT, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. TNIV, those who are born of God will not continue to sin. That is clearly what the Greek is saying. Because the seed abides in him and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now listen to this. Listen to this. 1 John 3:6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. You could challenge me with that verse as a Calvinist and say, you see, someone who's truly saved will not persist and continue in sin. I would say John is making a point there about someone who claims to be one of his and is not, since that person's never really known God. But yeah, you could use that point to say that someone who is truly saved will not live like that. But those of you who believe that no matter how you live, no matter what you do, you're still in, Explain this to me. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. 866-348-7884. Aaron in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
That's good to hear. I believe that people who are saved are definitely saved. That's for sure. But if at some point in your life you just turn away from Christ, then I believe, as you were saying earlier, that no one that you're not saved, then you don't, you know, you never were saved. Because there's a verse in John that speaks about those who were with him. They were among us, but they left out, showing that they were never really truly among us, even though they came from us, but they were never really among us.
Right. So that'd be 1 John in the second chapter. He says they went out from us. Exactly.
Uh-huh.
They went out from us. But they were never really among us. If they had really been among us, they would have stayed. So either that's a universal statement that anyone who leaves was not truly saved in the first place, or is talking about those specific people. But yes, that would back the point that those who are truly saved will continue in the Lord and not fall away.
And, you know, I also believe in what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit also, and you know, what he states in John 14:15 about the Holy Spirit. He's going to give the Holy Spirit, and it's going to stay with us forever. So I believe a true believer is truly saved, and they won't reject Christ. A true believer will not reject Christ. They're not going to just turn away from Christ and follow something else. You know, so I do believe in once saved, always saved.
Yeah, so the better way to say it, Aaron, is the perseverance of the saints, meaning that those who are truly saved will continue and persevere in salvation. Because a lot of people use once saved, always saved in a way that you wouldn't, sir. Meaning, here's a guy on the street, he's now a Buddhist, he used to be a follower of Jesus, he's now a Buddhist, he's living in adultery, but he's still saved because he was once saved. Now, you would say the fact he went out from among us indicates he never was. But Aaron, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Folks can mean something different with once saved, always saved. That's why I ask, and the offer remains. And stay with me. We'll get to your calls right on the other side of the break. The offer remains. Find me one verse. Just one. It's a big Bible. Surely there must be one verse that says this. Promising a rebel, an overt rebel. Someone who rejects God. Someone says, I'm going to live in my sin, as Israel did at certain times of its history. They refused. No, we're not going to listen. We're not going to bow the knee. We're not going to submit to the yoke. No, we're not going to. Just show me one. One is all I need. One verse that promises that person in rebellion, in sin, that they have eternal life and blessing. It's not there. It's not there. You won't find it because it's not true. Look, when God dealt with the children of Israel, it's the same God, his same nature. Yes, we're under a covenant of grace beyond the grace they've known, but it's the same God. When he said, you're going to live like this? You're going to live like the devil and inherit the land? No, it doesn't work like that. You say, well, that's salvation by works. No, it's salvation. Salvation actually saves us. Salvation actually changes us. It's just like the person who's healed is healed. They're no longer sick. The person who's raised from the dead is no longer dead. The person who's saved is no longer who they used to be. And if they go back to who they used to be, either they were never saved or they have rejected salvation. All right, your calls on the other side of the break. When my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, came out, we got word to campus ministries and Christian friends in different states in America saying, I'll do a lecture or debate on any subject related to my book on any campus in America. And in location after location, we had Christian leaders said, sorry, we cannot find any campus willing to host it. We can't find any Christian group willing to host it. We even have Christian groups saying they'll fight against it. I said, we're going to model graciousness. They wouldn't do it. Finally, University of Central Florida, a door opened, great controversy on the university. The whole thing almost got shut down by university officials. We finally had the debate. We now have it available on DVD. Your Gift of Any Size, Same-Sex Marriage, Should It Be Legal? It took place 3 years ago. It's now out on DVD. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What a quote. Just spotted this on a friend's Facebook page of the late and departed Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher, one of the great prime ministers in Britain's history. She said, "Do you know that one of the great problems of our age is that we are governed by people who care more about feelings than they do about thoughts and ideas?" Wow. Talk about an acute observation, an accurate observation. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. We're discussing on the air today some of the standard questions about salvation. Lordship salvation. Can you have Jesus as Savior while rejecting him as Lord? Or once you are saved, is there anything you can do to lose your salvation? Or no matter how you live, no matter what you do, you pray that prayer, you're in, then you show no change of life. There's never any repentance. There's never any turning from sin. You live however you want to live, and you're still getting in. Is that scriptural? And I put out a challenge an hour and a half ago and still haven't had any serious takers. Show me one verse anywhere in the Bible that says you can reject Jesus as Lord and still have him as Savior. I'm talking about a momentary lapse. I'm saying, no, I'm not going to serve him. I don't want him as Lord. No. But of course, I want to be saved, have my sins forgiven. One verse that says you can do that. Just one. I didn't say perfect obedience 24/7. I said one verse that says, no, I reject him. I will not have him as Lord. But, I want my sins forgiven. I want to have him as Savior. It's one verse that shows that. Or one verse that gives a promise to an overt rebel, someone who refuses God, turns his or her back on God, is living in overt, unrepentant, willful sin, that person somehow still has a promise of forgiveness and eternal life. One verse, just one verse. You won't find it. If you do, I'll say I'm in error on that point. And you can go to my online bookstore, look for any materials we have, and we'll give them to you as a gift. 866-348-7884. Hoax. It's a hoax. Someone posted on Facebook and asked me if I had seen it. And before I even looked to see what it was, someone else posted and said, it's hoax. Pastor Joel Osteen. Obviously, I don't agree with every point he makes and would want him to preach a clearer gospel of repentance and the Lordship of Jesus, but he has not rejected Jesus as Savior in any way. There's a hoax. There's a bogus website that was put up that looks similar to his. Bogus headlines from Drudge Report, allegedly Drudge Report, bogus YouTube. I am no longer a Christian. He's quitting the church and abandoning his faith. That's a hoax, okay? Hoax. There's no reason to read more of it. But it's not a hoax to say that there are some people who say no matter how you live, no matter what you do, you're still in. Now, why does it trouble me? It troubles me because it's false hope. It troubles me because it's telling someone a lie. Now, it's not a lie to tell them God will keep you. It's not a lie to tell a person, I know you're struggling. I know you have ups and downs. I know you're weak, but God is strong. He who started the work will bring it to completion. When you're weak, then he's strong. Lean on him. Don't put your trust in yourself. Put your trust in him. Amen. Absolutely. I agree. I preach that. I teach that. I believe that. However, it is a lie if you tell the person, you can deny him. You can actually deny him and go back to your old religion. You're a Muslim. You got saved. It's too costly. You can go back to Islam and you can deny Jesus and be a practicing Muslim and curse the idea that he's the Son of God. But once you pray that prayer, you're in. That is a dangerous, damnable lie. I will get right back to your calls. I mean it. Straight. Hold me to it. Joey, hold me to it. Straight back to calls when we return.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the discussion today on The Line of Fire. Be comforted and assured if you're a child of God, He's promised to keep you to the end. Jesus says that He gives eternal life to His sheep. Who are His sheep? Those who know Him and follow Him. And to those who want to play games with sin, the Word warns us again and again. We demonstrate our commitment by persevering to the end. We receive eternal life by being partakers of Jesus the Messiah until the end. And we examine ourselves to be sure that we are in the faith. 866-348-7884. Patrick in Miami. Okay. Now, I want to be consistent. I had a few callers, and when the phone lines are jammed like this, as quickly as we get to the calls, not everyone can hold the whole time or they're on the cell phone or lose the call. So I had a couple of callers who said, you cannot lose your salvation, but when I went to get to their call, I'd lost the call. Well, here was someone who said, you can lose your salvation, but I lost that call. So it balances out a little bit. Alan in Baltimore, Maryland, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I'm trying to catch my breath.
Yeah. You never know when we're going to get you on the air here. So take a minute, just breathe deep. Okay. There you go. Okay.
All right, I'm ready. I want to make two statements, and then I want to go to a scripture.
Go ahead.
There are only two things in scripture that you cannot lose. Number one, the gift. They are without repentance. Number two is God's love. For God still loves the people who are burning in hell right now. But unfortunately, His love can't do anything for them, but He still loves them. Now, I heard you mention Matthew chapter 7. I want to say something about it. I don't know if you went over this. Talks about the straight gate, the narrow way, and all that. We all know what
Matthew 7, 13 and 14, sure.
Right. And then He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. For verily I say unto you, some shall say to me, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Did not we do many mighty works in your name? We did something else in your name. People don't realize, who in the world does these things? These are saved people. People filled with the Holy Spirit, casting out devils, doing mighty works. He's talking about the church. And He says He's going to say to many of them, these are the ones He's talking about going down that broad road to destruction. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now, when He says workers of iniquity, He's not talking about the mighty works that they did. They are telling the truth. They did these works in the name of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit was with them. These are works. But when He says ye workers of iniquity, He's talking about their lifestyle. The sins that they would not leave, sleeping around, stealing money from the church, all of these things. These people were doing these things, yet because the gifts are without repentance, God's still going to move through you. I think it's so ironic. Many people are in heaven right now because of certain people who led them to the Lord, and the people who led them are burning in hell. That's such a tragedy.
Let me just jump in, and I'm... You caught your breath. You caught your breath very well there, sir, and made yourself very plain. Yeah, what do we do with those verses in Matthew 7? Either the people were self-deceived and they were never doing these works in the first place. They were just self-deceived. They thought they were working miracles and they weren't, which is not likely, but it's one possible reading. Another possible reading is, and that would be Jesus saying, I never knew you. But it was also the Jewish formula for excommunication to say, I never knew you, meaning away from me. And what's clear is He's saying you can have all the miracles and all the apparent confirmation, and you don't belong to me. You don't belong to me away from me. Why? Because you are denying me in your lifestyle. Lifestyle matters. It's not salvation by works. Let me say it again. It's salvation. It's salvation. Salvation is a new life in Jesus. Thank you for the call, Alan. I'm going to go right back to the phones, but I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It's in certain charismatic Pentecostal circles, but they'll talk about manifestations of God's glory. And I'm all for manifestations of God's glory and the power and presence of God coming down in such a way that you just have to get on your faces before him and worship him, and his holiness and beauty are there. Amen. But some people will talk about other unusual things, and there's some will talk about this glory dust, or, you know, wow, look at my hand. I've got gold, silver on my hand. Where did it come from? I've got it on my head. Where did it come from? And it's a manifestation of God's presence. And others say it's stupid. That's a mockery. It's a counterfeit. And I've never actually gotten to that discussion on the air. Maybe one day I will. But I looked at my hand a moment ago, and I saw all of this kind of looked like, oh, dark. Well, kind of goldish, but a little too orangey on my fingers, all over my fingers on the palm of my hand. And I thought, okay, what's going on? And I said, I'm sure it's not a manifestation of the glory of God. You know, it was, my office is being packed now as we're about to be moving to other offices in the area here. And, there's a card on the desk from some grads. I had given them a Kindle e-reader some time ago, a nice one. I'd given it to them, and they sent me a thank you card. And because they have kids and stuff, they have these stars on it with, you know, with this like glow dust and stuff. So I had actually touched that. That's what it was. Okay, let's go to Michael in Boston. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Thank you. I have a question about how you lose your salvation. And I want to say, I normally don't say you can lose your salvation. I say you can leave your salvation. Mm-hmm. I'd like to add that when Jesus says they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand, we should notice that this verse teaches that it's when we are in his hand that we cannot be snatched away. And the entire Bible is explicit on the possibility of departing from the living God.
Yeah, I mean, you have warnings throughout the Old Testament, and we see it happen in the Old Testament, and then Paul reiterates those in the New Testament and says, don't do that, or the same thing will happen to you.
So clear. And I actually interacted with you the other night, messaging you about Hebrews chapter 11, and you gave me some tips on that.
Oh, but, okay. Well, I'm glad I was able to respond. We're not always able to get to everybody, but glad we could respond.
Right. And so I'm wondering if you could give us a practical example of how someone would forfeit their salvation, because the book of Jacob teaches that what your faith is in can be seen by your works. So my question is, do you think leaving your salvation starts with a believer who decides to live in sin, or does it start with a believer who stops putting faith in Jesus and then ends up living in sin?
Well, you know, it's both and, for example.
Yeah.
There could be someone who starts to neglect the Lord. They get spiritually lazy, whatever it is. They get spiritually discouraged. They were excited about things. They fell through. Little by little, they neglect worship and prayer and the word and fellowship. And then next thing, the old sins of the world appeal to them much more. And before you know it, they've gone back the way of the world and are now consumed in that. Others start to get pulled on by a sin, and instead of turning to the Lord, they allow the sin to fester, the ungodliness, the disobedience. Or it could be someone, like some folks we know, that seem to be genuinely born again, Jewish believers, and then maybe had some emotional disappointment in a relationship, now started to question what they believe, then start talking to the rabbis, and then over a period of time, over a period of years, they leave the faith and then become counter-missionaries. Now, someone may say they were never saved, they were counterfeit converts, but even so, how do we know they're counterfeit converts? By the fact that they've denied the Lord. So it remains the same that there's no promise to someone in disobedience, willful sin. Hey, I've got a clip over here. I want to play this for you before we go back to the phones. It's A.W. Tozer preaching, many decades ago.
Now, what is it to believe in Christ, to accept Christ? Well, let me give it to you. It is to form an attachment to the person of Christ that is revolutionary, that reverses the life, that transforms the life, and completely changes the whole character. Brother and sister, that's the way we're doing it these days, huh? We're doing it these days. We're running around telling everybody, accept Jesus and live the way you've been living. And it's deadly as cyanide. No, No. The prodigal son had to leave that dirty, smelly mess and come home and get cleaned up. And so does every sinner.
And by the way, when he says we're running around telling everyone accept Jesus, live the way you've been living, Dr. Tozer died over 50 years ago, friends. Right around 50 years ago, he died. So this is not some new issue. This is an issue that has been around, and it's not the gospel. The gospel saves. The gospel transforms. You say, yeah, but that prodigal son was always a son. Well, he got right with the Father when he repented and came back. That's what the text is there to tell us. And the Father loved him and embraced him. Oh, wherever you are, however far away you are, turn back. And God will have mercy on you. Back to your calls when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, if you live in the greater Charlotte, North Carolina area, Friday night, 7 o'clock, Saturday night, 6 o'clock, at Fire Church, which is right near, less than half a mile from the Charlotte Motor Speedway, we'll be having a time of worship, really going after the Lord. Then I'll be preaching. We're really after the Lord for spiritual breakthroughs. That'll be Friday night, Saturday night. For those that don't have a church home, Sunday morning at 10. If you want more info, go to askdrbrown.org and just click on the itinerary. Let me get to as many calls as I can. Steve in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
My point of view is that I don't believe that you can lose your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a fundamental misunderstanding of salvation that I hear today.
Okay.
And it seems to coincide with the Catholic view, right, as you have agreed with your Catholic friend. And my point is that verses all throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of John, such as John 3:16, John 6:29, and a whole slew of them, make it clear that we're saved by grace. By grace, by faith, and not by works.
Mm-hmm.
And that to combine the two, whether coming in the front door, you know, like the Catholics, or bringing it in the back door, as, you know, the Reformation Protestants have done up to the present day, to me, you know, I could use strong language on what I think of that, but let's just say that I totally disagree. And if you really want to debate on these issues with someone who knows, because I really don't, you may want to debate your friend Robert Wilkin, the head of the Grace Evangelical Society. He debated your friend James White a couple of years ago.
Yeah, maybe we could do it. But Steve, so you're telling me then, I want to understand you rightly, that you say, okay, I receive salvation as a gift by grace, so now I go to heaven. I could spit in God's face. I could deny Jesus as Lord. I could become a Hindu worshiper of multiple gods and sleep with a different woman the rest of my life. And I'm still saved. Is that what you believe?
Well, no, I wouldn't put it quite that way.
Well, no, I'm not trying to mock your position. I want to understand it. If you're saying someone who's truly saved won't live like that, that's my big issue. My big issue is when people somehow think that because they're saved, they can live however they want to live, and no matter what happens, they're still saved.
Well, then they weren't really saved.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's a different issue. But, Steve, thank you for calling. I totally agree with you. Salvation is by grace. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you that it's a gift. I'm simply saying it's a gift that changes us, and it's a gift with accountability. All right. Let me go to Philip in Ogden, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, it seems that Paul, Peter, and the book of Hebrews all seem to suggest that you can, in fact, lose your faith. Or you can lose your salvation.
Yeah, I mean, why are all the warnings there in Hebrews, the second chapter, the third chapter, the fourth chapter, the tenth chapter, and the twelfth chapter?
One of the references I had for you was the tenth chapter of Hebrews. The other is the sixth chapter of Hebrews.
Yeah, and let's just say that the tenth is harder to argue with, because he says, beginning in verse 26, if we sin willfully, meaning continuing willful sin. Once we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. So here's a Jewish person who either thinks, well, I can go on sinning because I still have the temple sacrifices, or I don't need Jesus, whatever it is. He said, no. And he says, the only thing to look forward to is fiery judgment. And it's, he explicitly talks about this one who has already been sanctified by the blood, already sanctified by the blood. Hey, Philip, I wish I had more time to talk with you, but thank you for bringing that up. I want to go right here to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, all right? I just want you to hear this. God has promised to keep us. God has promised that if we call out to him, he's going to be merciful. He is patient. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our failings. He understands our shortcomings. He is so compassionate that I'm embarrassed by how good he is, and that I haven't served him with even greater devotion through the years in light of his mind-boggling goodness. But he warns us if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth. So I'm going to go on. I'm going to keep sinning. It doesn't matter who he is. Doesn't matter what he's done. I'm going to keep living the way I'm living, or I'm going to find atonement outside of the cross. If we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God? We're not talking about, I fell short, I didn't have compassion on my neighbor, I was nasty, I thought a lustful thought. No, it's not talking about that. It's not talking about I downloaded pornography and I said, Lord, I forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, that was foul. We're not talking about someone who got drunk last night. Lord, forgive me, that was ugly. We're talking about someone who spurned the Son of God. This is your ongoing lifestyle. And has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. And has outraged the Spirit of grace. You can outrage the Spirit of grace, but it takes a determined effort to say no to God. If you haven't done that, then you need to be encouraged with his grace, with his promises, with his mercy, with his compassion. And if you have spurned him and spat in his face and said, I will not have you as Lord, you can still repent and he'll still have mercy. Can I make a direct appeal to everyone listening? We are on the air by God's grace and with your help. This is listener-supported radio. We don't rely on hype and gimmicks. We tell you the truth. We give you resource offers every week that we know will be life-changing for you and really help equip you. And then the funds that come in through the resource offers normally just pay for the resource offers. They don't really pay for airtime and things like that unless you help us with additional gifts. So be generous. Stand with us. Sow into the work today. And my thank you for your gift of any size will be my two-hour video debate on DVD with Professor Eric Smaugh, Same-Sex Marriage, Should It Be Legal? This almost created a stir throughout the campus of University of Central Florida. University vice presidents, gay activists, different ones involved. Said it yesterday, I'll say it again. They ultimately required us to have four armed policemen present even to have this debate. And you'll find the debate, I mean, eye-opening, jaw-dropping. Same-sex marriage, should it be legal? And you need to know how to understand these issues and address them. So my thank you for your gift of any size will be the debate we're just releasing now for the first time on DVD. But here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our online bookstore, that's AskDrBrown.org, and click on the online bookstore. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, God who started the work will finish the work. Put your trust in him. Don't try to push open the emergency door on the plane and commit spiritual suicide. Let him get you safely to your destination.